Hello, I'm Kiff Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
Great song, song that's going to touch your heart. If you don't know the master this morning, it's our prayer that you would know this man we call
master. I'll tell you, if you've not met him in this service, something's wrong with your meter.
Amen. Right.
Then I met the master. Like a babe when he cries for his mother, like a child who is helpless alone, then I met my master.
Yes,
now
good to be in the presence of Jesus. And he loves you. And I tell you, he wants to do
greater things for Boone's Creek Baptist Church. We'll just be obedient to Him. Just give God the praise, give Him honor for all that's done. It's all about Him.
Sure.
I tell you, this message is Him, it's not me. And I can't preach this sermon, but I know one that can preach it through me. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit that we talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Thank God I can't do things for Christ, but He can sure do it if we just be submissive to Him. So many times I've said, Lord, I can't preach this sermon. He says, yes, that's right, you can. But how He wants to work through us and in us and do the job that needs to be done. Thank God for the music this morning. Thank God for every part, every message and song that we've had. It's been a blessing. It's just good to know the Lord, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're not ashamed of Jesus here at Boone's Creek Baptist Church. We're willing to just give God His due, His honor, His praise. He's a God who's done it all for us. Thank God. He came to us when I couldn't go to Him. He came to me. Amen. Thank God for that song. Thank God for the truth of that this morning. It's just good to be here. And take your Bibles, if you will, this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for the message this morning. And I want to bring a short message on the subject, five mighty motivations of a soul winner. Looking at the Apostle Paul. Five mighty motivations. What we are in life, what we achieve, is determined somewhat by our motivation. And you know, God will motivate us. He'll move us. The blessed Holy Spirit was working in the Apostle Paul's life, and it was so evident that he was filled with God's Spirit. And you know, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there'll be fruit. There'll be great evidence that will show. And when we let our light shine before others, that they might see Jesus, then great things happen. Paul's mighty motivation. What is it that moves your labor for the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it for the glory and praise of God? I trust and I hope that it is. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and Paul's going to tell us why he does what he does. What was it that drove Paul day and night to be spent and to let God work through him? What was it? He had some motivations here, some things that moved him, that moved him. And so what we achieve will be determined a lot by our motivation. And Paul, he said in verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, wherefore we labor. Paul's saying, you want me to tell you why that I work like I do? Why I do what I do? He's going to tell us. He says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Folks, we know that He accepts us when we're doing His labor, doing His work, when we're doing it in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm seeking God's acceptance. You know, if we please Jesus, it really doesn't matter who we displease. But if we displease Jesus, it doesn't matter who we please. Sometimes we're just running over trying to get things done, you know. And we need to back up and just say, Lord, here, take it, use it for your honor and for your glory and your praise. Paul said, wherefore we labor that whether absent or present, that we might be accepted by Him. And He's going to give us motivations now why that He was able to give it all for God. Number one, the judgment seat of Christ. Notice the next verse there. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul realized that he would stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He said, we, he's including himself. It includes every Christian, every born-again child of God. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, who are the people? That's us. That's every Christian. People assembled at that judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be what is called the judgment seat of Christ. This is not the great white throne judgment. Thank God we've escaped that. We'll not stand for, because why? Thank God we have been born again, blood and bought, child of God. And we won't have to stand at that great white throne and hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew." We won't have to do that. But we will give an account of that which we've done. You say, "I thought our sins were forgiven." Thank God they are. They're washed in the blood. They're cast as far as the east is from the west. And yet there is going to be an account that we're going to have to face. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And there we'll receive a reward. You say, "I don't believe in rewards." Well, the Bible does. The Bible teaches. Thank God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work." That which we've done, thank God, is going to come under the close examining eye of the Lord, and at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to receive rewards. And the Bible talks about crowns in Revelation 4:10 to be cast at Jesus' feet. There's a singing group called Casting Crowns. And thank God for that time that's going to come in the future, and where we're going to receive those rewards, and we're going to bring them to the feet of Jesus. Thank God. It's nothing that we've done, but it's what he's going to get the glory. He's going to get ultimately the honor and the praise for everything. And so Paul said, I'm going to get a reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we talked about this. He says, verse 11, "For no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest or brought to light, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Notice it doesn't say what size it is, what sort it is. And he says, "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." And so the judgment seat of Christ, and there we're going to, it's like judgment seat. It is Bema, B-E-M-A. That's the word. And that was a raised platform in the middle of the Olympic field where the people would receive the reward for a prize for the race that they run, or something like that, or an athletic feat. And he says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." And he says, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward." So judgment seat is a place of reward for the Christian. But for some, it's going to be regret, a place of regret. Look at verse 15 of chapter 3, 1 Corinthians. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Some are just barely going to make it in, save the sins, the coattail smoking, as somebody said. I don't want to suffer loss and regret. I want to be able to say, "Lord, here's the reward. Here's something for you that I can give to you." And thank God for that hope that beats in my bosom. Thank God that I am a member of the family of God. I am a child of God. I am saved by God's grace. And every Christian is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul said, that moves me. That motivates me. Because knowing that, he said, I persuade men. That's why I go, going day and night, day and night. Because, he said, I'll face the judgment seat. Christian, we ought to look at that and see that we're going to be there. We're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Paul said, that's my first motivation of my five mighty motivations. Number one is the judgment seat of Christ. But then verse 11, we're back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He said, not only will I face the judgment seat as all Christians will, but he said also, it's the terror of the Lord. If there is a hell, Paul believed in hell. We bet Jesus, I believe he had hell on his mind all the time he was here upon this earth. And he said, Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, today we have people that don't believe in hell. But I tell you, that doesn't make it any less hot, because there is a hell. There is a place of eternal punishment for the unprepared, for the unsaved. And he said, this drives me, this motivation, knowing the terror of the Lord. I tell you, if there's no hell, then the Bible is a bundle of blunders. If there's no hell, then Jesus died to save us from a non-existent place. If there's no hell, then there's no heaven either, because the same Bible speaks of both. There is a hell. Paul said, knowing the suffering and all that lost people will go through if they don't repent and if they don't give their heart to Jesus, he said, I know the terror of the Lord, and we persuade men. That's why I'm such a persuader of men, Paul said. And so, number one, the judgment seat. That's the motivation. Number two is the terror of the Lord. And so, then he says in verse 13, 2 Corinthians 5, he says, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is of God. You know, some people thought Paul was present. I'm sure, you know. But I tell you, he might have been called a nut, but he screwed down a mighty good bolt. They tried to say beside himself. He said, whether we be sober, it is for your cause. And verse 14 gives us the third motivation. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He said, that's something that just keeps me going. It's because the love of Christ, because of what God did for him. Look at verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. And so, friend, Paul said, because he loves me that much. If Jesus died for me, I will live for him. Yeah. And he said that, the love of Christ. Thank God for his love. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the high star and reaches to the lowest hell. It's because that God loves us. That ought to motivate us. That ought to press us forward. That ought to send us out to tell the wonderful story of Jesus and his love. Because of his love for me. I heard a story, it's a true story, about a doctor, Lorenz, of Vienna, Austria. And he was coming to this certain town. Well, it was Chicago. And there was a little boy that lived there by the name of Michael, who was crippled. And his mother would work out of the home just to keep body and soul together, just do menial tasks. And the story goes, and Dr. Hyman Appleman, the Jewish evangelist, told this, and I know it's true. And so this little Michael would crawl around on newspapers there in the home during the day when his mother was working, because he couldn't walk. And he would just crawl around and read the papers. And he saw there where this Dr. Lorenz, this famous medical doctor, was going to come to that town to do a delicate operation upon a very wealthy family's son that was crippled. And when the mother came home that evening, Michael showed the newspaper to his mother and said, look, I wish I could have an operation. I could have new legs, you know, where I could walk. And she said, but son, that would take money. And he said, you can't blame a fellow for wishing, can you? You can't blame a fellow for wishing. And that was just more than she could take. And next scene, she's found knocking on the door of the hotel where this doctor was staying. And the servant came to the door and said, yes. And said, the doctor's busy. What do you need? And so they said, you can't come in. But the doctor came to the door and he said, yes, ma'am, what is it you want? And she sobbed out her story of how her son was crippled, little Michael, and that he couldn't walk on his legs. And he needs an operation, doctor. And the doctor said that that would take a lot of money. She said, but I don't have the money. And she sobbed out her story. And the doctor said, well, how about the hospital? He said, well, maybe we can work something out. He agreed to go ahead and do the surgery. Later on, he performed this very, very delicate operation so that little Michael could walk. And finally, we find him there standing on his feet. And the doctor came to see him after the operation. And for the first time in his life, he took some steps to that doctor. And the doctor said, well, I've got to go now. I've got to go back to Vienna, Austria. And he said, well, can't you stay, doctor? He said, no. And Michael looked up into the face of this doctor. And he said, sir, I just want you to know that as long as there's a tongue wagging in my head, others are not going to hear the last of what you've done for me.
Amen.
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 Others are not going to hear the last of what you've done for me.
Amen.
And you know, after all that God has done for us,
right,
saved us, keeps us saved, all of the blessings of being a child of God and being a member of the family of God, we ought to say, God, as long as there's a brain in my skull, as long as there's a breath in my body, as long as there's a tongue wagging in my head, there's not going to be others are not going to quit hearing the story and what you've done for me. After all that Jesus has done for us, adopted us into his family, chosen him before the creation of the world, gave the Holy Spirit to convict us and to show us our need of a Savior, we ought to say, God, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you. If we live 100 years or plus, we could never thank him for all that he's done for us.
Right.
Isn't it great to know him and the free pardon of sin?
Amen.
Oh, love of Christ ought to constrain us. It ought to move us to be a witness for him. This is soul winning commitment day that we have every year. And we ought to make it this year, 2016. I want God to use me as a witness. Witness Commitment Day. Next Sunday is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, where we think about the issue of abortion and so forth and the importance of life. But today, on this Soul Winning Commitment Day, we ought to say, Lord, I want to be moved. I want to be motivated by the same things that moved the Apostle Paul, knowing my accounting that I'm going to face, the judgment seat, knowing the terror of the Lord, that there is a literal burning hell that unsaved people go to. And because of the love of Christ, because of the love of Christ, it just constrains me. Makes me want to go out there into the harvest fields, to be thrust out in there to tell people about Jesus. Well, I tell you, it's exciting. Friday night, answering the telephone, Billy Graham telephone, TV, and got a call. First call we got was a man that lost his leg in Vietnam. And he called, and we said, did you call to accept Jesus Christ? Did you call to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? He said, yes, that's what I called. So we shared the gospel and then had prayer with him. I tell you, there's nothing more exciting than that.
Man.
To know that guy was, he was saying, how can I send a donation? How can I send a donation to the Billy Graham organization? And I said, well, that can't save you, but I gave him the phone number over in Charlotte where the headquarters is. And I tell you, it's the most exciting, thrilling thing I've ever done or ever seen done is when somebody gives their heart and their life to Jesus.
Oh,
man, alive. I tell you, you talk about the Super Bowl. You talk about hitting a home run, the World Series. Thank God there's nothing that can compare to sinners getting saved by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God we know it's not us. It's Him.
That's right.
Oh, Paul, he said, the love of Christ constraineth me. And then he gives another motivation here, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, this is the fourth motivation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Paul said, I see men made new. I see the change. I see the improvement. I see what God can do. And he said, that helps me to go forth day and night. That's why I endure shipwreck. And that's how I endure stoning. And that's how I endure punishment from others. But he said, I'm willing to do it because I see men made different.
Sure.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart.
Amen.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's exciting to know the change, to see the difference. Oh, to know what Jesus can do. It's all because of Him. Because of His death, His burial, His resurrection. Hallelujah. Thank God for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can take, that we can take these men. We had about three or four that was saved at our station there. People calling, and thank God, people are being saved. People are being saved in other places, and people are hungry for the gospel. They're searching, and it's all because of God's drawing power. It's not Billy Graham. It's not Kenneth Packard. It's not a preacher. Thank God, it's because of what Jesus has provided and what He's done to make a way of escape for us. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go home. By the way of the cross, there's no other way but this. I will never get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. He said, I see men made new. New creatures in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that can take the place of that. There's nothing more exciting and thrilling. Then he said one more thing, and that's verse 20. Here's the next motivation. Here's what moves me. Motivates me, Paul said. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God would beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Paul said, my assignment that's been given to me as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. It's the motivation for me. He said, that's why that I let God work and God do what He wants to do in my life. He said, we're ambassadors. We're His representatives. As a RA boy, I learned, as a junior boy, learned what an ambassador was. You know, royal ambassador? An ambassador is one who represents the person of the king in the court of heaven. Get that down in your heart, down into your soul. An ambassador is one who represents the person of the king, King Jesus, in the court of another.
Yeah.
Friend, this world is not our home. We're just passing through.
Yeah. Right.
We're ambassadors. We're going places because we're here in His place. I tell you, He had nails driven through His hands and through His feet. Jesus Christ. And those nails should have been my hands.
Yeah.
Should have been my feet. But because He loved me just because he loved me. He gave himself for us. And we want these things to move us on this witness commitment day, to be a witness. Judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be there. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. And if we take hell literally, which we do, that ought to be the motivation. And it's the love of Christ that causes his love. Causes what he did for me. He loved me. That ought to motivate me. I see men made me. And then I want to be an ambassador for Christ. Those things that move the great heart of the Apostle Paul ought to move us today.
Sure.
Because it's right here in this book. Let's stand together. Invitation time. Most important time of this service. You're here this morning. You need to pray the sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me from you. You can just say, Lord Jesus. I know I've done wrong. I know I've sinned. And I need your forgiveness. Jesus, you died for me on a bloody cross and promised to save me if I'd only trust you. I do trust you now. I turn from my sins. I take you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. So I can go to heaven. Live with you someday. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you just ask him into your heart. And turn from your sin. Take the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It could happen to you. As by our heads in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many of you say, Brother Ken, I've got a need. I've got a spiritual need in my life. Pray for me. I've got a need. Lift your hand for every grave. Yes, God bless you. You. Yes, we have needs. Aren't you glad God knows? He hears, he understands. If you're here and you need to do like Aunt Dolores did last Sunday, join the church, you may do like that. You may not be a member of Boone Street Baptist Church, but this is where God's leading. I hope that you'll just mind the Lord, just obey Jesus, and give him that life. If you're here and you need to transfer your membership by letter, transfer a membership, a statement of faith that you know you've been saved, born again, that you need to be a member, here, we invite you to just come to Jesus. Come on this invitation. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word that won't return void. It'll accomplish that for unto us sin. And Lord, we just know, God, that your word is powerful, quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. God, just use what's been said today for your name's honor and glory. God, we tried to stick close to the book today. Give the scripture. God, now in this most important time of this or any service, God, invitation time, help us to do what you will be glad we did when we stand before you one day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let this one be witness commitment day. We're in a new year, 2016. You say, I want to be a witness. I want to make a commitment that God's head is giving me opportunity. I want to tell others about the Lord. You may do that by just the good life that you live. People see Jesus in you. But we're not saved by our life, but by Jesus' death. That's how we're saved. So today, you on this Sunday, 2016, you'll come. Say, I want to be a witness to God this year. I mean it, preacher. I mean it. As we sing, as you come, just come right on down. I want to be a witness.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or a family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple, A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need You. And You died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust You, I do trust You, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on the website, boomscreekbaptist.org. And don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.